views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing
cake. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome, welcome, everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from L.A., coming to you live from FEMA Region number 6. Today is Monday, January the 28th, 2019. It is a Monday. Looking forward to having a live show to you. Just want to say to my brother, happy birthday, first birthday in long time since you've been here and haven't been in the physical form for almost a year now. Just want to say happy born day to my beloved brother that I absolutely miss and love, who's not gone, but I just don't have in the physical form anymore. Yesterday was his born day. And you know what's so funny? The whole week I was feeling very uneasy and everything. I knew what it was from. I knew what it was about. I tell you, mourning is a difficult thing, but I feel the mourning has now subsided to a state of where I can really, really appreciate a lot of, you know, just the relationship. And I greatly appreciate it. Some of you have ever been through that, you definitely understand what I mean. And I just wanted to say big ups to my brother Hammer for just for everything, and greatly, greatly love and appreciate who you are and who you've always been to me. So that being said, we're going to jump into today's show, and it's a live show today. And before we do that, we're going to get into some of the administrative things that we need to do. And that is everyone supporting Black Talk Radio Network. Scotty has changed up some things. For those of you that are a part of the BTR community, you can actually publish and become a blogger within the overall part of your membership in BTR community, which is only $24 a year. And so you can do that. For those of you that haven't joined BTR community as of yet, please do that. We need to get the support of this network because it's becoming a financial burden, and we need to definitely, that supports and helps. You can also support the network by making a donation to the network. We're going to be talking to Scotty today about some things that we've been doing. Keith and I will talk to Scotty today. Very, very important because we have to support this network. Please, if you listen to this network and you haven't made a donation, make a donation and actually, if you could make a commitment monthly to do that, that would be great. But the thing that you really could do as well is just become a member in BTR community. It's a social media platform where you can actually engage in your social media activities without being as adversely affected. You do pay for your overall FedBook, aka Facebook profile. You don't think that you do, but you definitely do. And it is not worth the overall price, in my opinion. That's why only place that I actually engage in social media activities is through BTR Community. So definitely come on over to do that. So with that being said, we're going to jump into 1 second. And also, you can actually, everyone, please get yourself straight monetarily as far as savings. You have to save in real money. You could do that by going to Prosperity Mint. Prosperity Mint is a full service precious metals dealership. You need to exchange your cash for real money. You could do it there, but make sure that you email info@prosperitymint.com before you do that. Say, I'm a Tando Radio Show listener, and Dave told me to give you all email you all, and then respond. They're going to respond, and then please respond back to them, because what they're going to do is they want to make sure that you understand the overall buying process and explain it. It's to your benefit. It is definitely to your benefit that you do that, so that you'll have a full understanding of what's going on. Okay, let me just see. Okay. Okay, 1 second, everyone. Okay, so please definitely do that. Very, 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 very important. All right, 1 second. Sorry, got a couple of things that I needed to do. Okay, so make sure you do that. All right, so we're going to jump into what's in the news. Let me get situated here. I pulled everything up. Okay, here we go. First article that we got from DW.com. Germany, Spain, and France give Venezuela Maduro an ultimatum. Germany on Saturday gave Venezuela celebrity figurehead President Nicolas Maduro 8 days to call fresh elections to help end the year-long political crisis, the years-long political crisis in the South American country. So Germany said that they want Germany, Spain, and a couple other countries call for snap elections in Venezuela. So check out that article. Next article from Sputnik News. There will be no snap elections in Venezuela, envoy to Russia. Latin America, the ongoing political crisis in Venezuela started on the 23rd when opposition leader Juan Guaido declared himself the interim president. And I love how that you hear this everywhere. Self-proclaiming. He self-proclaimed himself as the interim president. It's phenomenal. And then now people are trying to recognize that. Hilarious. Just so that means that you all can self-proclaim yourself president of any country. And actually, it's ridiculous, but it just basically speaks of the overall coup that is being navigated and dictated and directed by the U.S. So check out that article. Next article from Axios. You want to invade everybody. Trump talked about military option in Venezuela with Lindsey Graham. You want to invade everybody? So check that out. Lindsey Graham laughed, and I said, I don't want to invade everybody. I only want to use the military when our national security interests are threatened. Trump is really hawkish on Venezuela. The hawkish Graham added in a phone call on Sunday afternoon, adding that Trump was even more hawkish than he was on Venezuela. Check out that article. Next article from Miami Herald. Venezuela's top military diplomat in the U.S. saying Guaido is president. So he's in the U.S. He's a military diplomat for Venezuela. He's in the U.S. and he's saying that Maduro is not the president. It's Juan Guaido. And you know what? He in the States. So what do you think he's going to say? Of course. So check out that article. Next article from Sputnik News. Last group.
We lost Dave. Keith, you there? You there, Keith?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes. Okay, we got Dave back.
Okay.
Sorry about that, everyone. I don't know what's been happening. Last Thursday, we had a lot of drop calls, and today I guess we're getting drop calls for the show. So don't know what's that about, but hey, we just keep on, we keep moving. So the next article that was from Sputnik News was saying that the and what I'm doing is I'm backtracking some of the articles that were that we didn't get because we didn't get to have a show on Friday, and so this was from Sputnik News. Last group of U.S. diplomats leave Venezuela. The latest group of U.S. diplomats have left Venezuela earlier in the day, said Venezuelan Maduro, adding that he has tasked the country's foreign ministry to launch talks with the United States on creating a so-called office of mutual interest in the country in 30 days. So then later on, Maduro asked them not to, some of the ones not to leave the country because of that. So some, I guess some left and then some stayed, asked them to stay. And just by him doing that, it was a smart move, Maduro. One, it shows that he's still the overall celebrity figurehead president. And not only that, it actually is the setup for what they want to do. And I believe me, they're being advised by Russia, China, and other countries on how to deal with this overall problem for sure. And so, one second. So that's some of the things that are going on there. One second, having a little problem here. Okay, there we go. Cool. Next article. Next article, this one comes from Reuters. European powers poised to recognize Venezuela's self-proclaiming president, Juan, as the president. Major European countries threw in their weight behind Venezuela's opposition leader Saturday, saying that they would recognize him as the interim president if Nicolas Maduro fails to call elections within 8 days. So first they said snap elections it was always 8 days. So they want to have snap elections in 8 days, and not gonna happen. So but significance is that the overall celebrity figurehead Secretary of State Pompidou was at the UN Security Council, and that what was said there, well, we'll get to that because that's a little bit further down in the overall line. What's up, Keith? Keith is in studio. And so check out that next article. This one comes from Gatestone Institution, France and Germany. We are committed to the emergence of a European army. So France and Germany have started their European army. Check out that. And it's been in the works for a long time. Next article, this one comes from my man Carlos sent this one in. This one is from Bloomberg. UK said to deny Maduro bid to pull $1.2 billion worth of gold. So, of course, and then what was so funny about that, the UK on Friday said that they actually acknowledged the overall the self-proclaiming guy as the president of Venezuela. Of course they would, because they're holding $1.2 billion worth of gold in the UK, and Maduro has tried to repatriate that. So what are they going to do? No. We don't acknowledge you anymore. This is what this is really all about. This is really all about the overall gold that's outside of the country of Venezuela. So this was the agitation so that they don't have to do what? Send over. They have legal recourse not to send over the overall gold. Doesn't matter. This is why it's so important that no one holds your overall money. Okay? Don't let anybody ever hold your money. So check out that article. But that's what really this is all about. The Bank of England, we're going to take a look at that a little bit later in the show as well. So check out that article. Next article, this one comes from Twitter. A guy posted that there was actually military arms moving in Venezuela towards the Colombian border. You know, the war is going to really jump up. Also, the individual showed shocking and disturbing pictures from Venezuela of dead body of dead protesters being transported by the military police to the morgue. So that's just some of the things that was happening there. So check out that article. Next article from RT International. U.S. not just behind the Venezuelan coup, it's leading it. The foreign ministry, the foreign minister of Russia told RT International. U.S. isn't just behind it, they're leading it. They're not behind it, they're in front of it.
Dave.
Yes, sir.
All right, so here's my question. Okay, so we know that U.S. is in front of it. That's their MO. That's what they do. That's what they've
Oh, wait, Keith, one second. Let me just put, let me take it off of here. One sec. Okay, Keith.
Okay, so we know they're behind it, the United States is behind it. That's their MO. That's SOP for them. That's standard operating procedure for them. That's what we do.
Right. That's what they do.
That's what they do. My question is, why are all the other Latin countries supporting the self-proclaimed leader as well?
Well, it depends on which Latin countries are Central American or South American countries. If you look at all the ones that are supporting, they're because what is Costa Rica going to do? Whatever the United States tells them to do.
Right. That, you're talking about dependency on U.S. foreign aid.
Yeah, right. That's exactly it. They're only doing that now because of the overall, as Scotty said, their dependency on U.S. aid. But I can definitely see, like, there's going to be countries that actually leave that overall position because Russia and China is going to come in and say, hey, we got a better deal. And then guess what's going to happen? When they take that better deal, what do they got to do? Yeah, we acknowledge Maduro. So it's temporary. But some of them, I don't think countries like Costa Rica will go away from that. Countries like Costa Rica will go away from that. Mexico
said they will go away from the present situation.
I don't think that they will. I think that they're diehard. They'll stick in it the whole way. But wait.
Well, why would you say that? And the reason why I ask,
because of the depths of their dependency.
Yeah, but that's gonna evacuate. The United States isn't gonna be in a position to help anybody.
Yes, I agree. And I just think that in the term of the short term and what we see things, Costa Rica will have to stand on its own and it will have to use its overall money and resources to cut a deal that they'll be able to be economically vibrant. And it's not going to be with the U.S. It's going to be with China.
That's what I'm saying.
So eventually it will get there, but I don't see that in the immediate future. I don't see that in the immediate future. I see that also a part of the overall as the displacement of the war. As the war grows, then you'll start to see countries running and going in the other directions. So yeah, huge. Very important thing is Mexico's stance is they're with Maduro. So we'll see how that all, it really doesn't matter because it's going to have to, this is already the move towards destabilizing this hemisphere has already started. So it's going to go through its ebb and flow. It's going to start one way, turn, and everything else. But the end result is that the U.S. will lose all of this significant relevance globally. So, and we'll take a look at that. Cool, Keith?
Cool.
My man. Okay, next article. What did I just, hit that. Next article. This one comes from Bloomberg. Fitch, the rating agency Fitch, warns emerging markets face more downgrades this year. And I'm going to tell you who else is going to get hit by Fitch, the U.S. So check out that article. That is a part of the overall collapsing of the common person's economy. Next article from Press TV. Syria repels drone attack on Russian base. Syrian air defenses have shown down that they downed three hostile targets over a Russian airspace over a Russian airbase in the country's western province. State media gave no further details about Sunday's suspected attack, which came amidst a rise violations of the ceasefire brokered between Turkey and Russia and in place in the country's west since September, so which was placed in the country's west of September. So that overall displacement continues. Next article. This is from CNBC, Criminals Nothing But Criminals. Why some investors who once dumped gold for Bitcoin are flocking back into the yellow metal. So check out that overall article. And we actually told, hey, you use cryptocurrency to acquire the savings of real money into real money. That's what you should be using it for. Next article from Strategic Culture. McCain may be dead, but bomb, bomb, bomb. Iran still resound. So check out that article where this whole thing is going to continue to blow up. Next article from, this is from newstrust.org. Russia says any military intervention in Venezuela should be avoided. Once again, Russia has been given a lot of warnings to the U.S. Don't do it. Don't do it. So check out that article. Next article from, this was from Algier. U.S. calls on countries to pick a side in the Venezuelan crisis. Why are they telling them to pick a side? Because they want to know what side you're going to be on for when the fight starts. Huge, huge, huge. Celebrity figurehead U.S. Secretary of State has called on countries to pick a side on Venezuela, urging them to back opposition leader. And he, and you know what's so funny? He's self-proclaimed. So you can go somewhere and self-proclaim yourself as the president of this and that. Self-proclaimed really just means that this is a coup and they're admitting to it as being a coup.
So let me get your opinion on something. Venezuela is definitely a hotter bid right now than Syria or Israel. Yes or no?
In what light? For in what way are you?
I would say no. I would say no.
Globally, or Scotty said he would say no. In what light were you asking, Keith?
Where do you see us going into a full-scale war first in fastest, which is the hottest bid, Syria, Israel, or Venezuela?
I definitely see that it is actually the Ukraine. It's two real hotbeds that actually will actually get military confrontation. I would say Syria and Ukraine are really neck and neck. You really can't distinguish the two. But because the Ukraine, the overall strategical importance of that is critical to Russia. So they're going to have a more direct response to that. And then the other one is the South Sea of China is a really, really contested one that could actually see a U.S. naval vessel shot on and actually damaged by a Chinese or a U.S. naval vessel shooting a Chinese vessel. And in that actually implodes and explodes.
Hey, Dave, I got a different take on his question, though. You know, I didn't catch it at first, but he said Syria, Israel. He wasn't talking about the U.S. and Syria. And, you know, all signs are that those troops are being withdrawn. They're removing equipment and everything, and the Kurds have met with the Syrian government, with Russia, brokering, you know, how they going to secure that area of the country against Turkey. So, but, you know, Russia has also warned, Russia and Iran, I believe, have warned Israel about their blatant violations of Syria's sovereign space and yep, killing people in there. So, but we know, though, that I feel like Israel is being aggressive, more aggressive, to keep the United States from leaving and to ramp to actually, you know, reverse that and get us into a full blown war. So,
yeah,
but that Ukraine stuff is serious too. In terms of Venezuela, man, I don't see us putting no boots on the ground. in Venezuela. It'll be done, you know, just like they did in other South American countries, CIA supporting death squads and things of that nature. Or, you know, Venezuela could turn into a Syria where you have a civil war. But I agree, though, that that is real serious stuff, man. That is really, really, you know, high on the radar.
Yeah, because they've already actively started shooting.
Yes.
So that's why that one is, and that's direct. Remember now, they already shot down a Russian plane directly. Well, the Russian plane was shot down, but that overall confrontation has already reached a point. Venezuela is, you're going to see a more of a buildup towards that, but
And you know, with that being said, they're already complaining that Russian bombers, et cetera, are starting to patrol North American coasts and stuff.
Yeah.
So that's right in the backyard.
Yep, that's definitely there. And Venezuela, I can definitely see it going into a confrontation between closing the border in Venezuela and Colombia, start blasting on each other. And it could, but Syria, the shooting has already started. Is really what it is, and that's the one that has the biggest one. And you actually think about Syria and the Ukraine, the shooting has already started.
Right.
And so that's why those dynamics of those things, those events, and those theaters of operation could go sideways now at any confrontation from there. Venezuela is building up to become a Syria and the Ukraine. So those that, I just think that those are more direct. But the thing about Venezuela that's so important and how it can deteriorate extremely quickly is because of how close it is to the continental United States.
Yeah.
And so the dynamics of that could unfold much quicker than the overall process of unfolding in Syria or in the Ukraine. Remember, the Ukraine just jumped up on everybody's radar when they had the coup in the Ukraine. The same thing that they did. They had a coup in the Ukraine, and then that just jumped up right away during the Winter Olympics that was hosted in Sochi in 2015. So that jumped off right then and there, and it kind of locked Vladimir Putin not being able to do anything at that time because of the Olympics. Once the Olympics was over, it went haywire. Everything went haywire. So things can change dramatically and drastically. But the Syria and the Ukraine have already started shooting. So definitely see that. Next article. This one comes from New York Times. Venezuelan president does an about face, allowing some U.S. diplomats to stay. Smart move. So check out that article. Next article from RT International. Iran's strategy is to annihilate Israel if they do anything that leads to a war. The top general from the Revolutionary Guard Corps says. So that was there. Next article.
Hey Dave, real quick.
Yes.
Maduro said they got 30 days. He gave them an extension. He didn't say they could stay.
And that was a real, I'm going to talk about it, real smart move by Maduro, which is being advised. He's getting his advice from who? Russia and China. Smart move. Next article. This one comes from NBC, nothing but criminal news. Shutdown ends as Trump signs short-term deal without wall funding. We'll talk about that real quick. Next article from Sovereign Man. The mother of all government data breaches is happening right now. Check out that article. Then
Wait.
Go on, Chief.
You sound like you're gonna blow right by that. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Dad, go on, Chief. You were asleep. I didn't think you. What? Chief jumped up. Chief, where's your games? What you putting yourself on a game diet?
You got 100% of my attention.
My goodness. Sovereign Man, the mother of all government data breaches is happening right now.
It's been more than a month since the federal government shut down, and all we know about the familiar story of the 800,000 workers and the millions of contractors who are not receiving paychecks, plus millions of other workers and small businesses in the private sectors whose incomes depend on it. So we got to take a look at this article. We'll take a look at it. I just wanted to read the caption. We'll take a look at this because you wanted to take a look at it, Keith, right after what's in the news. So that's Keith's article that he wanted to pick up. So we definitely will pick that up. Next article from Yahoo. Trump says he will declare an emergency if he doesn't reach a border deal. Very, very important. And we're going to cover that in depth tomorrow. So just to give you an idea of what that could look like and how that could evolve.
Because that is huge. And I don't think that people recognize how fast that's going to manifest throughout this country and affect us as individuals bigger and quicker than anything else will.
Yeah, it's all the setup. I didn't think that this overall the shutdown is nothing what the talking points have been, and what is all, it has nothing to do with the borders, in my overall opinion.
Hey, there's another element that just came out this morning that I saw. 2 years ago, when Trump took office, he turned over all his business dealings to his children. Well, an article came out this morning that they've been firing a whole bunch of undocumented immigrants who have falsified papers and what have you. One of the immigrants is saying that Trump himself knew. Because, you know, I guess he had been there or whatever. But other ones are saying, one of them admitted that he had false documents and what have you. And then another one, and then they said that a number of those undocumented immigrants who entered the country illegally are going to testify at Congress. And I said, wouldn't it be ironic if this is the crime? Because that's a crime. Knowingly hiring undocumented persons, and I'm wondering, well, how much is his business going to be fined? If this is going to be the crime, because that is a crime that gets him impeached, if they can prove it.
So, Scotty, and I want to piggyback on it, and I find that very interesting.
Wait, hold on. How did I know that you would, that would get you up out of your seat and stand? Keith just stood up. Keith, could you sit down?
You said that about the last article.
No. That woke you up. This one, you just stood up. How did I know that was going to get you all stood up and standing up? But go ahead, Keith.
Because I'll tell you what I find so interesting about this. And all of this is coming together at such a fast rate. For instance, you know, I was just reading about, and I hate to talk about this man, but the more I dig, the worse it gets. And you talked about it, and I didn't want to hear it as much. But that goes back to my man Obama and the things that he did and what we're looking at, like, you know, he did some executive orders and stuff that set up this shutdown that allows them not to pay these workers, et cetera, et cetera. So on their end, all this stuff is coming together for them. But we're starting to see things we've never seen, but the things weren't in place for us to see them like they did. But what brings me to mind what Scotty is talking about is the fact that, Scotty, you're exactly right, but let's be real. We know that man is guilty of 1,000 things. We know this. We got the evidence in it, and it's coming out, and they've shown it, and we go on and on and on. The real question for me is, once they declare emergency, all bets are off. Because now you are looking at an autocratic king. You are. The things that they have in place, it's almost a king-type scenario. And my only question is, are the powers that going to be, are they going to allow this man to assume that position? We got way more than enough to impeach him and get him up out of here before those things are done.
and Chief, and I know that you would be
leading the charge on that. So we won't be seeing Keith here on Tando Radio Show pretty soon, because Keith will be leading that daggone charge. But I will just say this. I don't think you have to worry about celebrity figurehead Trump being president the full term. He's going to leave. He's going to leave on his own. I think that he'll resign before any of this gets to the point of, as this continues to unfold, as these dominoes and the agenda starts to, the message starts to make itself known as to how they want to subjugate.
Now, let me tell you what made me so mad about that scenario. Because both those situations, the thought of them caps my behind. I'm sorry if that, but anyway, it does. And I'll tell you why. Because the only way he can leave, Dave, right? Mm-hmm. He's not going to leave. Because if he leaves, the state is going to eat him up. The state is going to eat his children up. The state is going to eat his business up.
Mm-hmm.
He's not leaving.
Hey, Keith, but I heard some people talking about he might leave on his own if he can negotiate immunity for himself and his children.
Yeah. So that's exactly what I was saying.
And guess who's going to give it to him? There's going to be a couple of countries that's going to give it to him. And guess who's going to pardon him?
Okay, and that's
guess who's going to pardon him?
Well, of course, whoever Pence or whoever it is. Sure. But that goes back to the exact scenario I was talking about.
Yeah.
And I was saying both of them upsets me greatly. And the reason being is because there's no way of seeing that those jokers came in and do all they've done and get to walk scot-free. So he can't leave unless those things are in place.
Yeah.
I agree. And that's where I was going with this.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
And either way, that chaps me to no end. Because either scenario to me is absolutely unacceptable. There's no way I like the thought of him taking that head after an emergency proclaim, because my goodness. But by the same token, and your scenario I haven't thought about, because the states will eat him up, but you're exactly right. If he goes, if they Shanghai him to another country where he's protected, then the same thing's being done anyway.
Yeah, it's never ending. Unless, you know, there's a lot of different variables, but the key thing is, I think it's very, very important, as you said earlier, Keith, it's not so much what's going to go on in the White House, it's what's really going on in our house. And because it's very, very, very important that in light of some of the things that are happening globally, we have to get our house in order because of those things. And if we do, we'll put ourselves in a position of advantage. And Keith has sat down now because, you know, I think that Keith is ready to lead that charge. And I think Keith will self-proclaim himself as the overall Attorney General of the United States. And he will file charges himself. So...
But that's going to lead into a whole different conversation.
Yes.
We ain't ready to go into now.
We will. But yeah, I'm just.
I will say this as far as that conversation goes, and the more I dig into this, and the more scenarios come up and stuff like that. And my thing is, I know how far we are. That this is my country, and we're not going nowhere. But the fact of the matter is, this was never our country. And what
under the corporation, yes. Under the corporate deities, yes.
And where we're going and where the picture looks like, this is the last place that anybody of color or is going to want to be. For that matter, it's probably the last place that almost anybody will want to be. Because we think of an autocratic king, but I don't think that we're looking at no place near the depth of that which is going to take place here. And we talk about all the time all these other countries and the humanitarian atrocities and stuff that are taking place. I don't think people have a clue as to a humanitarian atrocity until they see what's going to happen in this country when these things take place.
The extent of the humanitarian crisis that will be here. And it will be so deep, Keith, because people are not accustomed to that here. It's kind of like the fall is going to be so great because of how deep the overall bottom is. And so that is going to be, it's going to be pretty severe. And because, you know, it hasn't been that type of scenario here in the U.S. And so the Continental is going to be a very difficult place. But there's also going to be a lot of opportunities that are going to springboard from that as well. So very, 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 very true. And we'll get into, like you said, we have to get into some of that, and we will, because we'll do a show on, probably have a couple of shows on it, on what the emergency really could entail, what that really could entail. I want to give just a scenario of some things, and then what does that mean to us? So we'd love to hear from you. Anytime you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. We'd love to hear from you all at any given time. All right, so I'm going to jump into the show, Keith. What it's so much. And today's show, I forgot to say, today's show, war all around the world because of the United States. War all around the world because of the United States. And now it's going to be coming into the American hemisphere. You know, it's going to be in Central and South America, Central America, and in North America. This will not be a confrontation, a military confrontation that the U.S., continental U.S., will be saved from or will have any form of sanctuary against it. It's going to be by cyber attack. It's going to be by economics, and it's going to be by military confrontation as well. And it's going to be by covert actions and operations inside of the U.S. itself. And it's going to be by riots and by needs the general population not having the staple goods that they need, and it's going to be a very, very tumultuous place. And it's, you know, a lot of people will say that will never happen, and that's the thing about it, you know, when people say it can never happen, you know you're wrong as soon as you say it.
You know, I was making a point to somebody the other day, and they were talking about this, and I said, you know what, if you just look at what we're looking at today, what we're looking at today, where you're looking at a shutdown for a prolonged period of time for a situation that's not even a situation, and the fact that these people are being forced to go to work without pay, which is slavery, which is some of the things that our past president put in place, et cetera, et cetera. But if you just go back just a mere, sure, we can go back 30 years ago, and 30 years ago my thing was in politics that if you had a scenario that looked like impropriety and ruined careers, I'm not even going back that far. 5 years ago, we could look at a thousand things that we said that would never happen here. And they're amongst us on a daily basis. Now, we're looking at, literally, people wake up. This shutdown is a much greater picture than what you realize it. These people are being forced to go to work with no pay. Mm-hmm. And that's the federal government. What do you think their attitude are to the inconsequentials that nobody thinks about anyway? These are federal workers being forced into a slavery-type scenario.
Scotty, I posted an article from Algier, if you could just play that from there. And Keith, you're absolutely right. And I would just say this. You said, you know, the shutdown is supposedly over, right? And it's a moratorium for 3 weeks, right? Mm-hmm. But the shutdown never ended. The slavery never ended. You said because people are working without pay. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, if you really look at how the economic system is set up, people have always been working without pay. because they're really working, exchanging their money for debt.
Sure.
So you, even if you do get a debt instrument, you really didn't get in a equal payment for what you gave up. Because you lose every time you, when you work, that energy that you expend at work, you can't recapture or reuse that energy. It's gone. Now you can produce more, but what you've already produced, can, you can't get that. You have to make sure that you properly use that overall energy so that you're repaid in something that has value that you can now use that later on in the future when you need it.
You're going to have to hedge for yourself. And I agree with you 100%. And why that's so important, and here's the point that I was making. You are exactly right in that, Dave. But what I meant from that is every child that's born here in this country is already laying. I had a sent out a thing on your favorite Facebook, and it was funny. It was a picture of a little baby with this shocked look on his face. He says, "What do you mean I'm guilty of sin?
Thanks for coming over here."
Right? And why that was so funny, because it's true, but nobody thinks of that. But by the same token, it gets so much farther than that, because every baby that's born in this country is already owing almost $250,000. My point is, you're exactly right in everything that you say. We've always been under slavery, but now it's different, because now they're coming up there and they're smacking you in your head and they're saying, you are a slave.
Yeah.
You know, so you're exactly right. We were slaves before. But a lot of that was under the table. You didn't feel the brunt of it. But now they're smacking you in your head saying, you are a slave. And we don't care if you know it. And if we got to this point with that now, it's only about to be extended much greater in the near future.
Yeah, it's going to be much, much worse. You're so right. And I love the analogy that you used, or from what you got from your Fedbook account, with the child saying, what do you mean? What do you say, Keith? What was the caption?
What do you mean I'm guilty of sin?
What do you mean I'm guilty of sin? I just got here. What do you mean I owe how much, Keith?
$250,000.
What do you mean I owe $250,000? Well, no, it's really, what do you mean I owe $25 million? I got here, because that's really what it is. It's really, you know, about $25 million. And so I just got here.
Hey, Dave, I can't play that video, man, because it has an ad,
okay,
and I can't skip it like I do on YouTube. But I got a YouTube video that's talking about the same thing. It's 2 minutes.
Okay. Thanks, Scotty. I appreciate you so much. Well, let's play that, Scotty. I want you to hear what's happening at the UN Security Council, and then we're going to come back to this, and because all of this is important. And keep what you said about what you mean I just got here. It's so, so relevant.
In Venezuela drew a forceful new response today from Secretary of State Mike Pompeo at the United Nations. He called Venezuela under Maduro an illegitimate mafia state and urged other countries to back the man designated to take Maduro's place. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo today putting the world on notice.
Now it's time for every other nation to pick a side. No more delays, no more games.
Pompeo urging action at a tense UN Security Council meeting to address the unfolding political and humanitarian crisis in Venezuela.
Either you stand with the forces of freedom or you're in league with Maduro and his mayhem.
Those forces Pompeo spoke of, led by 35-year-old opposition leader Juan Guaido,
asumir formalmente las competencias,
who this week was named interim president by the Venezuelan parliament, drawing criticism from President Nicolas Maduro, calling it an American-orchestrated coup. Maduro tweeting, "No one is going to subdue us. We will never surrender." The split has plunged Venezuela further into crisis. Maduro, handpicked by former President Hugo Chavez, is largely blamed for the country's economic decline, with annual inflation rates up to 1.3 million percent, according to a study by the opposition-controlled National Assembly. Maduro has support only from a handful of countries, including Russia and China. More than a dozen nations are behind Guaido, After the U.S. announced its support, Maduro lashed out, expelling American diplomats from the country.
Do not test the United States on our resolve to protect our own people.
The Trump administration maintaining a hard line.
Hands off Venezuela!
As protesters in the U.S. pick sides.
We can't be sitting here complaining about interference from abroad in our election while we're supporting someone that's essentially creating a coup.
And late word tonight, the Venezuela's highest-ranking military diplomat in Washington has broken with the Maduro regime.
Hey, NBC News fans.
Thanks, Scotty. Okay, so very, very important when the celebrity figurehead Pompano went to the UN Security Council, Keith, he says, let's play no more games. Pick a side. What was that speech reminiscent of? It's reminiscent of the axis of evil. It's reminiscent of, it has the remnants of, remember when Colin Powell went to the UN with Iraq with weapons of mass destruction, which was a lie, which is absolutely was all of that was a lie.
But with that being said, I'm going to come to your boy's defense.
Who?
Colin Powell. And it was a lie.
Not about him.
I know it's not, and I just want to make sure that it's not about him because he went there with ignorance with that lie. I think he was bamboozled in telling that lie. So, all right, go ahead.
Thank you, Keith. Let me tell you something, Keith. I don't think we need to defend anybody. That man knew exactly what he was doing.
Yeah.
He knew exactly what he was doing.
Yeah.
I saw an interview with Wilkerson about what Keith is talking about. And he didn't have all the facts, and he knew he didn't have all the facts, and he suspected some of the stuff was true, but he went ahead and did it anyway.
Yeah. He went ahead and did it anyway.
Yeah. They pressured him to sit on
it. He knew what his position. That's why he got so quiet.
Yeah, he was against doing what he didn't want to do it because he suspected that it wasn't.
And come on, you knew why you were there. You knew what you Colin Powell. You know you can't give Colin Powell some bottled water from a store or anything else. He won't accept it. So he understands, and he knows the details of how things work. And so he knew why he was there in that position, and he just, you know, he played his celebrity figurehead role.
He did. But again, I he did it against his primary will. He wasn't a wolf.
Well, that makes him worse then. You know, when you compromise your principles, when you know what's right and you do wrong anyway.
I'm trying here.
Yeah. That's why I said, Keith, don't go here.
Coleman, I'm trying here.
I'm telling you, man, me and Scotty just looked at you like, what you saying?
I'm trying.
Man, don't.
Hey, Dave, I posted the whole video of the UN Security Council meeting on Venezuela at U.S. request. That's the title. It's on blacktalkradionetwork.com. If you look at the section that says latest post on or recent post on the front page, is the, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, the fifth one down right now. And I would recommend people watch that. And China said some stuff that was so true. China said, we have respected nations, and I'm paraphrasing what they said. We have respected nation sovereignty and international law. We haven't invaded anyone. And we're against the invasion and meddling in Venezuela. And that's a true statement. Again, you can talk about all the places China is in, like South America and Africa and anywhere else they may be. But the thing is they didn't go in there by force. They didn't force their way in. They made deals to get in there. If it's a bad deal, then that's on the people who made the deal. But they did not, they have not been aggressive militarily.
Yep. They, like I said, they've invaded no country. They've never invaded a country. And they've been an overall corporate country for how long? The U.S. is not even on the blip as far as how long China has been in existence as a overall formal country. And they've never invaded. So very, very important. So listen, we got to get ready to go to a commercial break. Keith has given up his overall Save Colin Powell campaign. You tried. You tried, Keith. So listen, everyone, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, don't hesitate. Give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. Scotty, give me 2 minutes, and we'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Real quick, I'm going to keep... I want to do something for Keith. Keith wanted to know more about this one article about from Cyber Man, the mother of all government data breaches is happening right now. And this was on the 25th.
Hey, Dave, before you do that, just let me compliment you, Keith, and Tando Radio Show. You know, the next CEO of USA Inc., you know, the contenders are rolling out, and there's a lot of conversation about that. And when it comes to our people, and you know, I understand you, when you talking about our people on this program, you talking about us, you talking about Black people, African Americans, and what have you. You just choose not to use racialized language, okay? Which is codified, in my opinion. But as I've been watching, you know, commentary involving California's former top cop and prison slaver Kamala Harris, I was watching this YouTube channel that I follow, and they were commenting on that and commenting on her. And I agree with everything that they said because it matched my own research of her record, except for one thing, though. And they were telling their audience, which is Black audience, because this was, you know, these are Black people, and they frequently, you know, speak to African-American issues and whatnot. But here's the mistake that they're making. They're telling their audience to only focus on stuff like reparations, the criminal justice system, redlining, you know, racism that we face here in the country. And that's a mistake, because all these other things that we're talking about today, if Venezuela pops off right now, that's going to affect everybody in this country. We're not going to be exempt because of our skin color. We're going to be faced with astronomical high gas prices like everybody else. Venezuela, the third largest supplier of gas to the United States. If a war pops off, you know, man. So I just want to... you know, just affirm what you do on the network. And I'm so glad that, you know, we met through CC, because you have a worldview. And Malcolm X talked about the importance of us having a worldview, and we can't live in a bubble or a vacuum. So just thank you, Dave.
Man, Scotty, no, bro, the thing was the platform. And I say this all the time. I really appreciated Scotty from the first, Keith, when we first came on. He wanted to know, what were we going to be talking about? Because it was talking about precious metals. He said, well, where is this precious metals coming from? What is it? He wanted to make sure that no one around the world was being exploited for someone else's agenda. And right then and there, Cece was the one that bridged us together, and she actually named the show. You know, Cece actually named the show. And Cece is critical, and just a critical thinker, and I love Cece. And she just said, hey, Dave, this one brother has this network, and we need to, you should be on and talking about some of the stuff. And she was the one that spearheaded this, and she introduced us. And this platform was so important, because we were talking about things that wasn't popular, that, you know, we were talking about things that is not mainstream media, is not entertaining. And Scotty saw the overall importance of it and gave it an opportunity to grow. So if it wasn't there, and this is why we're going to make sure the Black Talk Radio Network is on air. Every person that's listening has to donate to Black Talk Radio Network, because it gives you so much. It gives you so much. And the thing about, one of the things that's very important about receiving is that you really won't be able to receive, in my overall opinion and looking at things, you receive on a short scale. I think that your receiving is more plentiful and more abundant and more capable and more vast when you first give. Then that allows your lungs to open up to be able to take in the air that's going to supply you for the future. You have to first give. And this network is in need of everyone's giving. And so please make sure you donate, because we can't lose. We cannot have the mentality that we are just making it. We are all just making it. There requires some sacrifice in order for us to get to where we should historically be right now. And Black Talk Radio Network is definitely that platform that assists in doing that. And that is critical going forward, because what so many people have learned here on this show and on this network, they're benefiting from it. But I will say this, don't let your benefit be the thing that chokes you. You have to feed the roots that you've been eating from, because then the fruit becomes poison fruit. And where's the poison fruit lie? It's lied in your body. And so we got to support this network. So this is what we're here for. Check this out. This article, Keith wanted us to talk about this. This article was from Friday, before celebrity figurehead Trump had the moratorium on the shutdown. Man, and I would say this, Keith, because you haven't been with us from the time that we start, but you just, you know, embedded yourself. You took over. Keith put a gun to my head and said, I'm gonna get on this radio.
I'm self proclaimed here.
I'm gonna get on this radio. But Scotty remembers from our first shows, Scotty's been with us the whole way through, and that's what I love about Scotty. Scotty is on—he is on this network. This is the network. This is his baby, and he's responsible for it. He's on it. We were saying some people said there are some sensational things that you're saying. Like, he got some messages from people. So there's some sensational things that you're saying about what's going to happen and everything else. But if you look at when we first came on, we started to say there is going to be an asymmetrical move, and it's going to be a covert move. But guess what? This train is still moving in this direction,
And it doesn't matter if you see it or if you don't see it, because the reality of it is happening. And it is unfolding in a vast global agenda, a conspiracy agenda. And we have to understand that and then operate our overall decision-making to protect us from that adverse side, and to, so that we can actually seize on all the opportunities. So all the stuff that we've been talking about is going to happen, is probably going to happen. I'm not in control of any of those things. I just see some of them and just put the warning out. I can't stop it. But what we can do is actually have an appropriate response to it. I hope in the future that we will all collectively as people come to see our true standings and be able to stop everything, because we can. We can stop everything, but we have to be committed to that overall. So first we have to realize that how deep this problem is, and then what is the effects of it. Now we can say, okay, this is what we need to do. And Scotty put it the best way, it's corruption.
Flat out
is corruption. So before we get too elaborate on things, it's corruption. And that is what we all have to stand against globally. Globally. Very, 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 very important, significant thing that we need to do. Because if not, we're going to keep find ourselves on this overall circus and this charade and this merry-go-round of destruction, generation after generation after generation. It's a building process. So we need to build something more sustainable and more benevolent, and not allow this malevolency to continue, this ubiquitous fraud, this ubiquitous corruption that we are all having to deal with at all times. So there's an article. Keith wanted me to elaborate on this one a little bit more. The mother of all government data breaches is happening now. It's been more than a month since the federal government shut down. We all know the familiar stories of the 800,000 workers and the millions of contractors who have not received paychecks. And I'm going to stop here real quick. You know, the overall air traffic controllers and the TSA were known as being very, very significant in stopping this so-called, or giving this moratorium to the shutdown. And I want to just say this, be careful. That overall TSA thing was a plot and a ploy, and is what it wanted to do. It's a malevolent agenda behind that overall agency, and them being significant in this overall is for a reason. Guess what's going to happen to TSA? TSA's powers is going to be extended even more. And guess how they're going to do it? They're going to use part of this shutdown as the reason why they need to be more secure. And what they really do is they're expanding. Nothing that happens from this overall system is a benefit of the people. They do everything for a reason. It's a methodology to have their objection of subjugation and enslavement.
Okay, with that being said, then I can see where
they're going to expand that TSA.
I can see where you're going with that.
And they're going to use this as a part of to do it.
I can see where you're going with that. No more different than the militarization of the local police.
Exactly, Chief.
Here's my question. So we know that that's what they're doing. That's the direction that they're going in. That seems counterintuitive, though, of cutting the legs out of the FBI, the CIA, the NSI, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And you would think that they would expand their powers as well.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not. They're doing just the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Talk on that.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of those agencies, that some of them are more notorious and more known, so they'll actually be on the chopping block more. But what happens is the overall continuity of government is what is going to be expanded even more now. And how do you do it? You do it through some of the new agencies that you've established, Department of Homeland Security. And so,
but they're still going to be underneath the dictatorship,
the continuity of government,
which is that exact same picture of men.
Yep.
To our
yep.
friends in the late 30s and 40s.
Yep, exactly. You're going to see the expansion of it. It's the
uniform. It has a different name.
But by identical procedure.
But identical, yes. And it's going to, you can see it all really expanding itself now. So here's the article. So plus, there are millions of other workers, small businesses in the private sectors whose income depend on at least partially on the government, and they're totally suffering. But now the shutdown is starting to affect cybersecurity. Because it turns out there was, but it turns out that there are now at least 200 federal websites whose SSL certification has expired since the government employees were furloughed. And we're going to cover this a little bit later on when we talk about the emergency and that. But I just wanted to get Keith what that was talking about, because he thought that is critical. This is a psyops, everyone. This overall shutdown is a psyop, and it's going to expand itself in so many different ways. Credit rating is going to be lost. The payments, all these things is just basically the overall move towards the U.S. getting into a more global confrontation where it is going to lose its overall standings as a corporate entity that we've been accustomed to seeing all the time.
You know, and I've been saying for a long time, the fact of the matter is this. If you were looking at, and we all know the term global governance, we're one world order.
Mm-hmm. New world order.
New world order. Okay. So way back when Bush, when they were trying to do certain things, and Bush said, you know what? We don't care what you say. We're powerful enough and we got enough money to do without you, so we're just going to move along the path that we decided to move.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in order to have a global government, even back then, people should have recognized the fact that in order for this thing to go forward, they have to reduce the independence of the United States. They have to yield their power underneath their control. And that had to be done. And that's exactly what we're looking at.
Yeah. So true. And now I want to get back to this Venezuela thing, but if you would like to get in on a conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. And you're right, Keith. You know what? There's a process to how you are able to subjugate people globally. And it has to be fragmented. And then that fragmentation, you can get more control over it from the fragmentation. And then you can develop entities that will actually have a design purpose of maintaining the overall subjugation on a small scale that expands, you know, larger until you have it.
Sure.
You have the whole world under the network. You have complete coverage. And so very important. So, but I want to get into this some things in Venezuela. And I missed. So there is a couple of things. I made a mistake there. Hold one second. Meant to hit this one. A couple of things that's happening. And I didn't get to post this article, but I will post it right now. And there was an article: Washington orchestrates a coup in Venezuela, incites civil war in the name of democracy. And so the displacement of things in Venezuela is going to continue to unfold. I'm going to post this real quick, but I want to go back and forth with two RT international articles on this just to give you some insight into some things. Now, I don't think that RT International is, you know, the holy grail of anything or anything, but I like to use other networks and news agencies outside of the U.S. because you always get the propaganda from the U.S. Mm-hmm. But there's a very important article, and here's what it says. And this one was from RT: U.S. not just behind Venezuelan coup, is leading it, the foreign minister told RT.
Venezuela is well aware the United States is actually leading an effort to topple President, celebrity figurehead President Maduro, but is ready to sit down with the Western-backed opposition and could be doing so in a half an hour, the country foreign minister of Russia told RT. Hitting back at the Western pressures, Venezuelan government will now focus its efforts on the main leadership of the coup, the directors of the circus, namely the United States government, Mr. Trump and his representatives. The foreign minister gave an interview with RT Spanish on Sunday. Without further ado, he accuses Washington of spearheading what he says is an effort to overthrow the democratically elected President Nicolas Maduro. The U.S. is not just behind the coup, but it is leading it. We are focused on neutralizing Washington's attacks. That overall statement is critical. The United States is not just behind the coup, but it is leading it. We are focused on neutralizing Washington's attack. Now, when Russia says that, what does that mean? If you're going to neutralize, what does the word neutralize mean? Washington's attack.
Make it inconsequential. Void.
Nullify it.
Nullify.
Repeal it. Destroy it. Defeat it. Stop it. No longer allow it to gain more momentum. You're going to nullify it. Now, if you really neutralize it. Now, what does that neutralize mean? That means that what is the U.S. doing to create this overall displacement in Venezuela? It's a psyop. Yes? They're calling for a covert action. Yes? They're also even considering using the military to invade Venezuela. So when Russia says they're going to neutralize that, what are they talking about they're going to neutralize? They're going to neutralize every tactic that the U.S. is using.
The threat.
The threat. Regardless of the form of the threat. So now, when we hear that, we need to take a look at what form of the threat is actually coming. And there is also...
Well, even before you say what form of the threat which is coming, I think you can't isolate it to that, because this thing started with the collapse of the economy, mm-hmm. which generated all this in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And we were behind that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So now, and I'm saying that because of this, from Axis. Trump. Scoop. Trump mutes about military options in Venezuela with Graham. Republican Senator Lindsey Graham told me that as recently as a couple of weeks ago, President Trump talked to him about the possibility of using military force in Venezuela, where the United States government is currently pushing for regime change using diplomacy and economic pressure. Stop right there. So what did Russia say that they would be willing to do, that they're going to be engaging in? They said the U.S. government is not just behind the coup, but is leading it. We are focused on neutralizing Washington's attack. So now...
Was your focus on the word we?
Yes, we. On neutralizing... on Washington's attack. What is Washington's attack? Right here, Lindsey Graham said, what? The military?
But they said military last resort.
Right. No. But that's still on the table.
That's on the table. He specifically said everything's on the table.
Military. Let me read this again. Republican Senator Lindsey Graham told me that as recently as a couple of weeks ago, Trump talked about to him the possibility of using military force in Venezuela, where the U.S. government is currently pushing for regime change
using diplomacy and economic pressure. Now, a couple of weeks ago means that this isn't just one documentation. We had it from back in September and October of last year, where Trump was asking the countries in Central and South America if they would support him if he had military intervention as a humanitarian package for Venezuela. And they said no. So it ain't the last resort. It's really the forefront of their overall peace. Because now they're using what? Diplomacy and economic pressure. So now what is Russia saying that they're willing to do? They're going to be focusing their efforts to neutralize Washington's attack, their economic attack and their diplomacy attack and their military engagement. So what is Russia going to be doing with China? Destabilizing the economy here in the U.S. even further. Because then that neutralizes their overall what? Engagement in Venezuela.
Capability.
And then it also, they're going to use diplomacy to destabilize the United States. And they're going to use, they're going to neutralize the U.S. military. So what is Russia really basically saying? Russia is basically saying, and when they say we, who are they talking about as we?
That was my question. Who is we? That was my question.
When you say Russia, Russia saying we or Trump saying we?
No, Russia said we. Let me go back.
Their traditional allies.
What's that, Scotty?
Their traditional allies. That will be Iran. That will be China. That will be everybody who's beholden to China because of them loans.
That would be exactly. It says here, in quotes, the United States government is not just behind the coup, but it is leading it. We are focused on neutralizing Washington's attack. This is from the overall foreign minister of Russia.
It wasn't that long ago, Dave, that didn't Russia send some nuclear-capable bombers to Venezuela?
Yep.
They recently said that they reset them. In other words, supposedly they had them there.
They left.
Supposedly they left and took them out.
Yeah.
And they just recently said they're back, they're sitting, and they're waiting.
Yep. They reset them. So, yes.
Now, if this pops off, Dave, quick question. If this pop off, are our community sons and daughters going to be spared that's in the military? Are they going to get to stay home?
I think they refer to them as cannon fodder.
Exactly.
And Scotty, Scotty had talked about when he went into the military, if he had knew what he know now, he would have never done that. He went into the military for the very same reason that I went into the military, because I didn't know. And then once we start to find out these things, we're like, no way in the world. And remember when Scotty said he appreciated that his children didn't do it. And one of the things that I've always, with young people, I've always expressed to them, that's not an option that you really should be considering, because there's more in line to that than what meets the eye.
Okay, so you know I am never one to take a different stance from you or Scotty, but I have to take a different stance. And my different stance would be...
Well, you were the attorney for Colin Powell, so Scotty and I are...
I tried.
Are well prepared for your presentation.
I tried. I got to disagree with you. Mm-hmm. And I got to go theological with that.
Mm-hmm.
And theological, one of my things is, it says every man has a season.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And the fact of the matter is, if you didn't go, if I didn't go, if Scotty didn't go, we couldn't be having a discussion that we know now, because we would have been ignorant to all of it.
Yeah. Well, Colin Powell's attorney,
I understand. I understand what he's saying, Dave, because we are speaking from experience, and us actually being in the military give us some credibility on what we're speaking on. But still, though, you know, I'm not going to sit up here and exaggerate and say that I have nightmares about my experience in the Gulf War. But from time to time, I do visualize those bomb data assessment reports of the tens of thousands of Iraqis that were blatantly murdered for oil.
Yeah.
And I that's something that I, you know, I have to acknowledge, even though, you know, I was ignorant and what have you. I was going in for college money and what have you. And, you know, and while I was over there is when I started to get my wake up call. But, you know, that's, I have to say, I got blood on my hands for my participation. I didn't actually shoot nobody, but I helped the people who was doing the shooting communicate with each other and coordinate on the battlefield. So that's on, you know, that's something that I did, and I'm not proud of that, and I wouldn't do it again.
Yeah, and you know, I think Scotty, and every person has, as you said, season, but every person has a response to their overall engagement. Yeah, their overall engagement. And Scotty, I would just say, but the overall, your intention was never to be. Scotty didn't have a dark heart about this whole thing. You know, there's a big difference between a mistake of the mind and a mistake of the heart. 1 plus 1 equaling 5 is a mistake of the mind. These individuals that we're talking about, they put together a mistake of the heart. They know exactly what they're doing and why they're doing and why they need to deceive and why they need to have a propaganda campaign to deceive people into doing something that they ordinarily would not have done. That's a mistake of the heart.
You know, that was my argument for Colin. You realize that, right?
So, but no, Colin had a mistake of the heart, not the mind.
I think he.
We ain't going back to Colin because the jury has already been out.
But let me, and I agree with you. Let me address Scotty on this, though. Scotty, and I want to reevaluate what I just said in light of what you just said. You have that blood on your hands, okay, I'll give you that. But that's what made you what you are today. And that's what makes you so strong in the defense of where we're going with this today. And you probably wouldn't be where you are today leading this charge if you didn't go through what, you know, I almost liken it to the Apostle Paul, who used to be Simon. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And Simon had all kinds of blood on his hands. He was actually the one that killed. Absolutely. He was actually the one that was in charge of killing Stephen. Now, you want to talk blood on your hands, talk about that. But that's what made him the Apostle Paul later on. And that goes back to what I was saying. So I feel you, brother. But you know, even in that, Romans 28, verse 28 says, all things work to good. So even though you had to go through the things that you went through, it put you where you are today. And you got to keep that in mind.
And, you know, we all go through our different processes of things. And I think Scotty is right where he's supposed to be.
Absolutely.
And you're right where you're supposed to be. And I understand that I am where I'm supposed to be. And there is a azimuth, a moral azimuth that we shoot for the direction that we really want to go. Now we realize the power of us and us individually, and that's most important thing, because I can't make anybody do anything else. I'm responsible for what I do. So listen, get ready to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we got to take a look at this, because this stuff with Russia and Central and South America going to Central and here in the Continental is real. Listen to the Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
Welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, then give us a call, 704-802-5056. So,
hey, Dave, real quick to you know, and I'll leave it alone, but to Keith's point, he has a point. He does have a valid point, because if I hadn't went into the military and acquired the skill set that I did, Black Talk Radio Network wouldn't be here.
Right. Yep. And look at what we're using from what we've learned.
you know, this is where we turn our experience into molding our objectives. And very, very, very important. So we all agree on that one, and it's not something that we can take away, but how we look at it is personal, and it's a personal thing. And it actually gives us an opportunity to embed ourselves and be steadfast in our overall direction. Very, very, very important. So, all right, so this article, and it goes on, adding to the U.S.-led pressure for Maduro to step down, Spain, France, and Germany, and the U.K. on Saturday issued the elected leader an ultimatum, calling on Maduro to call for new elections within 8 days. Let me stop there. Spain, France, Germany, and the UK. And the significance of this whole thing with the UK is this, is that the UK has a vested interest in Maduro coup. And their vested interest in Maduro's coup would lie in because Maduro, like Chavez, he's been doing this for a couple of months, has been actively trying to repatriate its gold back from the UK. And the UK doesn't want to give them the gold. Where's the article that I had on that? So, what is the U.S. and the U.K. going to do? Hey, we want to get rid of Maduro. Here it is. We want to get rid of Maduro. So, what do we do? How do we do it? Well, he made the fatal mistake. Here's the fatal mistake that Maduro did. You want to know why Chavez isn't alive anymore? Why he got an active form of cancer that kills him relatively quickly? Because he was the first one to the gold window in modern times that actually repatriated Venezuela's gold from France and the U.S. and Europe. And when he did that, what did they have to do? They said, you know what? This guy wants to repatriate his gold. This guy over in Libya is giving us problems because he wants to put the continent of Africa on the overall, the gold dinar, where every country, in order to be able to acquire resources out of Africa, they have to pay, they have to give money up instead of a piece of paper or some debt instrument. You have to give something of equal value for what you're getting. You needed to have fair trade. It needed to be fair payment for fair receiver, for receiving something. So in order for you to receive something of value, you have to pay something of value.
Hey, Dave, real... On the gold. Now, I just read this article yesterday. Apparently, Venezuela didn't get all his gold back because some of it's still in the UK, and they're refusing to turn it over to Maduro.
Yeah, that's the goal. Exactly. So the UK on Friday was the first country to do what? Say, nope, we don't recognize him. We want the new guy. And the new guy is not going to try to repatriate the gold. What is Maduro doing? He wants to repatriate the gold. And it's hard not to give a country that has resources, when they say they want to repatriate their gold, if you don't give them their gold, guess what they can do? They can move the overall resource of what you need so that you don't get it anymore. So now you're cut, you're stuck. So what happens as soon as Maduro tried to repatriate the gold, he signed his overall death warrant by the U.S. and the U.K. They were ready to kill him. But the difference is the execution of that is going to be different than with Libya. As soon as Chavez repatriated the gold, said that, there was a couple of things that happened. There's been a call for repatriation of gold from the United States by a couple of countries. Germany caused it, and that's caused the overall problems between Obama and Merkel that extended to now. You see where it is now. Soon as that happened, soon as Germany tried to repatriate their gold, there was a hurricane that was steered right into Lower Manhattan, Sandy, Hurricane Sandy, and they said, oh,
It's all underwater. It's all flooded. We can't give it to you.
Now for 7 years.
Yeah. But then they weren't going to be able to do that because Germany says, "Nah, we're not playing that. You're going to give us back our gold." So what did the U.S. have to do?
They get from someplace.
They had to take it from someplace else. You know where they took it from?
Venezuela.
Nope. The Ukraine. Oh. That's when they invoked the overall coup of the elected president of the Ukraine with the Nazis. And then what did they do? They stole 33 tons of gold and they sent it to
Germany
as payment. So Maduro's problem was, Venezuela's problem has always been, they got resources and they starting to ask for money. They're starting to try to repatriate their gold.
What do you mean, money?
Gold is money.
Okay.
So they have money and oil, and they want an exchange for money also. You know why Iran is the real threat? Iran is really a threat not because of its overall nuclear capabilities. It's because it has resources, and it's demanding a payment of another form of resource in return. You want oil, you got to give us gold.
So we got to rob Peter and Paul.
Well, see, the rest of the world, they won't do this. They won't give up their resources for a piece of paper.
But they have all this time.
They have all this time.
And that's why we're having issues.
This is why.
What do you mean you want us to do what we were supposed to do? We ain't having that.
Right. This is where the slave goes to be king.
No. I disagree with that. This is simply, and this is a truer picture in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the slaves going to be king.
Mm-hmm.
It's simply the slaves trying to be equal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He ain't trying to ascend all the way up to being king. He's just saying, you know what? Give me what I have coming.
Mm-hmm.
Give me what I'm supposed to have. You just give me what I'm supposed to have.
Mm-hmm. Well, Chief, I'm going to tell you why, and I think we got a caller in queue. We're going to go to it. And I got that from the Bible.
Which part?
The king where the slave becomes king.
Oh, wait. Okay.
Okay, so I think you want to rethink.
I want to hear this.
Yeah, I think you want to rethink what your overall assessment is now. And why I say where the slave becomes king is because it's really a saying to where you are now
a king.
You are now.
We are. That's what we are.
You are right, and you are able to sustain yourself, and you have sovereignty.
Yeah.
You're not under rule or under control of no one.
And what we're saying. Is
yeah. So yeah, I just wanted to. So I always like to catch it there. So Maduro became public enemy number one when he was in Chavez's cabinet. As his vice president, when Chavez repatriated the gold to Venezuela, some of the gold went to Venezuela. And what did the U.S. and their cohorts did? What Russia said that they did? They started to attack Venezuela economically. And guess what happened to that gold that Chavez was able to that they sent as repatriation to Venezuela? They had to put it back into the market because of the economic collapse that happened in Venezuela. They had to put it back. They had to sell it back. And so now they were able to get that possession back. So what did Maduro say? No. I got new partners now. I want my gold back. I don't need y'all anymore. Then what happens? You don't want me to hold your money? Well, I'm going to have to convince you that I'm still going to hold your money. And you didn't take the deal. So the UK had a vested interest in this whole thing. This whole coup is being sized up by the overall traditional overall cohorts that maintain the overall economic subjugation globally. Here's the article. Nicolas Maduro embattled Venezuelan president regime, desperate to hold on to the dwindling cash pile it has aboard, was stymied in his bid to pull $1.2 billion worth of gold out of the Bank of England, according to the people familiar with the matter. Remember, England was trying to buy time not to give up that gold to
to Venezuela. What did they know? That there was going to be a coup that was coming down the overall line. The Bank of England decided to deny Maduro official withdrawal request comes after top U.S. officials, including the Secretary of State, celebrity figurehead Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, and National Security Advisor celebrity figurehead John Bolton, lobbied for their U.K. counterparts to help cut off the regime from its overseas assets, according to one of the people who was asked not to be identified. The U.K. followed the U.S. and other countries on Wednesday in recognizing the self-proclaimed National Assembly leader as the legitimate president of Venezuela. He ain't even go through an election. Maduro, an authoritarian ruler who oversees the country's collapse into the economic chaos, refused to give up power. Though, as moves this down, and has the backing of the military, the European Union threatens to recognize the overall self-proclaimed person unless a credible presidential election is called within 8 days, according to the draft statement by Bloomberg. Here's what's so significant about that.
Call recording off.
Is that the overall criminal cabal of controlling resources is what this is all about. The UK needed the US to facilitate the coup so they won't have to give up the gold. So this is all working in together. Now European countries are saying, hey, you need to do snap elections. Russia's telling them, no, you don't need to do snap elections. China's saying you don't need to do snap elections. Here's where this divergence is going to be so big and so broad. It's all about resources. It's all about resources. The UK is going to eventually have to give in. But guess what the UK is really in on? Let me tell you what the UK is really on.
They're a double agent.
They don't really care about Venezuela's $1.2 billion in gold. You know what they are more concerned about? The so-called 8,000 metric tons of gold that the U.S. is supposedly to have. This is how you can get them to actually lose whatever holdings. I don't think the U.S. has 8,000.
Now,
the U.S. does have plenty of gold still in the ground in the United States. California is known as the Golden State for a lot of reasons.
But doesn't China have dibs on California?
China has dibs on. They're making dibs in California, in Nevada. But there are. Obama, before he left office, signed over a lot of, I think it's 3 million acres of national preserve land. And all of those national preserve lands, well, guess where they were? In gold-rich areas in the United States.
He signed that over to?
No, he didn't sign them. He signed them so that no one could mine there. He nationalized them. So if they were on private property and everything else, the nationalization of that supersedes the overall private ownership.
So was that him tapping out?
No. What that was that they knew where things were going in the future, and so what they try to do, this is what happens, is that when we go to a state of emergency through martial law and through war, what happens? The U.S. does what? They nationalize all of the critical infrastructure. So what they did was they did that by wildlife preserve. This is just a trick. Is there's another form of what they're doing. They basically said that all of that gold belongs to who?
China.
No, the gold belongs to the U.S. government.
It does belong to the U.S. government. But what I meant was, could it be that China did that, forcing his hand, so that at present you guys aren't mining all my future gold?
Well, that's very, very important, because Obama did it after leaving from a meeting with some Chinese officials from ASEAN members in Palm Springs. So absolutely, Keith. Yes, absolutely. So this whole thing is going to explode even more, because
the overall lines of the overall battle lines have been set up now between Russia and China. Russia and China can't afford for Venezuela to be lost. They can't afford for Venezuela to fall under U.S. control. You know why? Because it's one of the largest oil reserves in the world, and guess what the U.S. is going to need to fight a war against Russia and China? Same thing that the Germans did. They needed oil. This is why a couple of months ago I did a show why Venezuela is so significant and why you're going to see a more overt move militarily towards Venezuela because of the overall oil deposits that are needed to fight a war.
I think a real good picture of that would be Nazi Germany in Africa. As a matter of fact, that was their Achilles heel.
Well, yeah, that's how they lost the war. That's how they lost the war. And that's why they invaded France.
Yeah.
So, same thing, different time, same objective. So, very, very significant. Hey, you all, we'll pick up back on this. Great creator, Willen, a little bit later. Keith, thank you, Scotty, thank you. Whoa, before I go, I think we had a caller. Oh, shoot. I wasn't on. I don't want to make sure I missed. Yep, we did. Let me go to Brother Davis. Sorry about that, Brother Davis. Oh, man. Brother Davis, if you can, I heard you and I forgot. Brother Davis, if you could call back, we'll hold on. If you can call back, one of Brother Davis to sound off. So, I didn't mean to do that. Got lost in the, and I heard Brother Davis. Well, you know, Keith said I'm getting old. No, I was just caught in there, but Keith, I think you really don't want me to comment.
Since you
whispered that, I'm just gonna whisper this. Keith, where your keys? I can't find you. Can you find your keys? Just say that. So, okay, everyone. I think Brother Davis got caught up. I'll catch Brother Davis tomorrow. I'm sorry, I missed him. I'll try to catch him tomorrow. So, okay, everyone. It's never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. And before you ask for a fortune, make sure to give one away. Much love, much respect. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the U.S. wants to avoid at all.